And now, if you will turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans and chapter 12. This is an outstanding portion of God's Word from the pen of the Apostle Paul. These words that would cause us to think and to reevaluate our own Christian experience. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Before we read our scripture, let us pause for just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we bless thy name again in these moments for the written word. And we ask that as we shall look into its blessed pages, the Holy Spirit would indict a good matter within our hearts. And may we be thrilled as the Holy Spirit puts within us that which we feel is necessary for victorious Christian living. As we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Paul writes in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed or made like this world. Did you hear that? Be not made like this world system. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How often have we heard others say, and we've said it ourselves, well, I like it, but something's missing. We taste a particular dish. It tastes good, but we say, it seems that there's just a little something missing. Or we put on a suit or clothes and we see, well, it looks good, but the shirt or the tie or something, there's just something missing. Going into a home and seeing the decor of the parlor or the front room or living room. And we see how that things match up well, but yet there's something missing. That's a common everyday experience with us all. Well, in these areas that I've named, for there to be something missing means no grave consequence. But what if one rivet or one bolt were missing from the capsule that carried the men around the earth for 10 days were missing? It could be fatal. In some areas of life, it is important that there be nothing missing. Now, in the lives of many Christians, and this is a tragic note, but in the lives of many Christians, something is missing. And in the life of a Christian, for something to be missing can result in grave consequences. I want to talk to you about something missing in your life and mine. The relationship between God and the Christian is the same as that between father and son. I wonder how many parents we have today who have children under 21 years of age. Let's see your hand, whether they are with you or not. If you have children under 21, quite a few. Let me ask you a question. What kind of children do you want your children to be? Oh, I think I can answer that. For I think you want your children to be honest and brave and clean and pure and upright and wholesome and productive in life and successful in life. And only rightly so. You are the parent. He or she is the child. And you ought to want the very best for them. Now, Christians, let me ask you, what kind of Christians do you suppose our Heavenly Father wants us to be? What would bring more joy to a father's heart than to be able to feel within his heart that he is proud of his son? To hold his head high and throw back his shoulders and say, "This is my son." I wonder, does it not bring joy to the heart of God? If God, and I say it with all reverence, can throw his shoulders back and lift up his head and say about you and me, "These are my children." For you see, whatever the child does reflects on the parents. If a child is brought up in hostility, the child will be hostile. If a child is brought up in animosity, the child will be bitter. If a child is brought up in criticism, the child will be critical. If a child is brought up in prayer, a child will be prayerful. If a child is brought up in the midst of cursing and swearing, maybe not in your presence because they're afraid of you, but they are going to curse and swear. And whatever they do out there in the school and on the playground, either directly or indirectly, reflects upon the parent. And say, Christians, whatever you and I do reflects upon God. He is our Father. We are His children. Inasmuch as we are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ, I admonish you and me to live like the sons of God. No wonder Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I say again that in the lives of many, something is vitally missing. Let us reason together today and attempt by the help of the Holy Spirit to discover what is missing. In the lives of some, study is missing. Paul wrote to young Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now back to you parents again. If your child brings home a report card with low or failing grades, if you're the kind of parent that I think you are, you'll become disturbed. You'll want to know why. You'll begin to research and find out why your child is making low grades in school. What if the Sunday school teacher sent home a report card? Often our Sunday school superintendent in our teachers' meetings on Wednesday night asks the superintendents and teachers, "Why do you have such low grades in your class or department?" And more often than not, some teacher or some superintendent will say, among other things, "It's because they're not studying their lessons." And you know, the reason a lot of children are not studying their lessons is because mother and daddy haven't put any importance on studying the Sunday school lesson. Again, I say, if they bring home the failing report cards, you become very anxious and very concerned, and rightly so. Why don't we become that concerned about our children's spiritual welfare? Oh, you say, but in school they're preparing for life. In Sunday school they are preparing for death. And that's more important. And sad to say, the only teaching from the Word of God that some Christian parents' children ever get exposed to is in the Sunday school. And then we wonder why they rebel on the campuses and in the streets. If they don't get it at home, they're not going to get it. I say again, it is disturbing if our children were to carry home report cards from church. Study to show thyself approved unto God. God admonished Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. The psalmist wrote, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The psalmist said again, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And again, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And again the psalmist wrote, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And again, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth, the holy book. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than bread and beans. He didn't put it exactly like that, but he said more than the food necessary for my stomach. For after all, the stomach is full and empty. And the stomach is going to die, but the soul is going to live forever. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Someone asked a scholar, why is it that when you study so slow, and when you pray so fast? He thought for a moment, and he said, when I pray, I'm talking to God. When I study, God is talking to me. If Bible study is missing from your life, you can never be productive. In some lives, steadfastness is missing. I read a story about a little boy who was just getting ready to saddle up his horse and take off for a ride. And a man came by and said, son, does that horse run fast? He said, no, sir, but he sure does stand fast. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Or as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All too many Christians run hot and cold, up and down, on and off, in and out, here today, gone tomorrow. Be ye therefore steadfast. Be like the horse. If you can't run fast, stand fast. Paul said, having done all, to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with the gospel of truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Having done all, stand. You see, the Christian must make a stand. Must be steadfast. God said to Joshua, turn not to the left or to the right. Some Christians remind me of an untrained rabbit dog. If you've ever seen one, he'll pick up the trail of a rabbit and he's following that trail, and another rabbit or some other animal has crossed that trail, and so he takes off to the right and takes off to the left. He never gets a rabbit. But if he stays with his nose on the trail, he'll tree the rabbit. He'll tree the squirrel and catch the rabbit. I'm saying to you, a Christian ought to be like a tree that is planted. A Christian ought to be like a rock that is firm, standing and having done all to stand. The psalmist said, he brought me up out of an horrible pit and set my feet upon a solid rock and established my goings. P.S. When God establishes your goings, you'll be going in the right direction. P.S. the second time. If God establishes your goings, you'll be going to church, even on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Going after the lost. You'll be going where and when God wants you to go if you can say with the psalmist, he established. I like that word, it's strong. He established my going. And of course he goes on to say, he's put a new song in my heart. Even a song of praise unto our God. If steadfastness is missing from your life, you're not living a full, complete, victorious Christian life. In some lives, stewardship is missing. The Chinese tell the story about the man who was going to market, and he had 10 gold pieces, and on the way he encountered a beggar. And he gave the beggar 9 of those gold pieces and went on off to the market with just 1. Are you listening? And to show his appreciation for the 9 that he had been given, the beggar chased down the traveler and stole the 10th gold piece. The Chinese tell that story. The Americans tell this story. Your pastor tells this story. That many Christians are doing God just like the beggar did the traveler. God has given us 90% and we steal the 10% from him. You say, you're talking to me, preacher? I sure am, if you're not a tither. A lot of people are missing in stewardship. And if stewardship is missing from your life, you've stopped at the halfway house of Christian experience. I wish that more of us were like the little boy. You know, you've heard about John Yates, haven't you? Yeah, I've told you about him, but I'm going to tell you again. Over in Barwick, Georgia, a young boy went into a bank one morning and he laid down $4 on the counter And he said to the teller who was looking over to see him, "I want to open a bank account." And the teller said, "In your name?" He said, "No, sir." Kind of grinned a little bit. He said, "In the name of John G. Yates and Company." And the teller said, "Are you John G. Yates?" "Yes, sir." "Who's the company?" "God is the company." He said, "You see, these $4 don't belong to me. This is the tithe off of my month's earning. And God has just let me handle them for him. And I must put them in his name. John G. Yates and Company." I say again, if stewardship is missing in your life, you are missing out on some of the richest blessings that you could ever have. In some lives, soul winning is missing. I read a story about a man in a prayer meeting once who was given to long prayers. God deliver us from people who are given to long public prayers. And this man was praying, but he didn't pray too long. He just said, "Lord, reach out your hand and touch that family over there that's unsaved with your finger." And he stopped just like that. And he slipped out of the prayer meeting. And the next week somebody asked him, "Why did you stop praying so suddenly and leave the prayer meeting?" And he answered, "When I prayed for God to reach out his hand and touch that family with his finger, it seemed that I heard a voice saying, 'You are my finger, go touch them for me.'" If soul winning is missing from your life, you are missing out on a wonderful blessing. For you see, God hasn't called any of us to be lawyers. He's called us all to be witnesses for him. If soul winning is missing, you are missing out on the greatest joy besides your own personal salvation that you could possibly have. Something else is missing in a lot of Christians' lives. Separation is missing. The Christian life is a separated life. God says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be your God, and you will be my people." John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Or if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." James wrote, "Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God? And whosoever," James goes on to write, "is the friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now, the Baptist didn't say that. Preacher Barber didn't say that. God said that. Enmity against him is friendship with the world. Let me say this special word to our young people. Listen to me, young people. I know that my sermons are sometimes a terrible bore to young people, but some of the things that young people do are a terrible bore to me. But young people, hear me, and I'm saying this for your good, not for mine. You're young. You're traveling an inexperienced, uncharted path. Listen to me. There are two voices speaking to you today, the voice of Satan and the voice of the Savior. Now, Satan is saying to you, Now, your pastor gets off. He's a good preacher, don't make any mistake about it. But he gets kind of sidetracked once in a while, and he starts delving into your business, and he has forgotten that he was once young, and now he's getting old. But don't listen to the pastor. Listen to me. Hear me when I say it. The devil says to you young people, you are not young but once. Live high. Die young. Have a good time while it lasts. The devil says, after all, you don't want to be a square. After all, you must be in the in crowd. You've got to wear your clothes just like the in crowd and cut your hair just like the in crowd and go the same place as the in crowd. Let me tell you something about the in crowd. Most of the in crowd end up in trouble. You come with me today to the hospitals for the mentally ill and for the hospitals for the bodies who are eaten up with disease. And I'll tell you some people that thought they had to be in the in crowd. But the in crowd ends up in fear and frustration. For the wages of sin is death. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let me share with you the experience of another pastor who related this experience in the chapel services of the seminary just a few days ago. There was a young girl in his church, 17 years old, saved from a good Christian family. But she was going with a boy who was unsaved. Now let me stop here and say this again. I am of this persuasion that Christian young people ought not to get serious with unsaved young people. Listen to this story and you'll know what I'm talking about. I know that at 17 you know more than mother and daddy and pastor and teacher and everybody else. But when you get 27, 37, 47, 57, you'll find out how much you didn't know when you were 17. Listen to me. This pastor called that young girl into his office and said, I think you're making a mistake. Oh, no, she said. But he said, this young man is not saved. He's not interested in church. He's not interested in Christ. I don't think you ought to get serious with him. Oh, but she said, preacher, leave it to me. I can handle it. And so she went on. And in a few months, she came back to his office, not on his invitation, but with her mother. And in tears, they both said to the pastor, she's in trouble. She's got to get married. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So in a private ceremony, he married them. They had more children. In about 3 years, she came back and she said, I can't take it any longer. I must get a divorce. You remember when you were 17 and I told you, no, the pastor didn't say that, but he could have said it. Don't get serious with unsaved boys. Ah, but somebody says, what I do with my life is my business. And no preacher's going to tell me what to do. If you are lost, it is your business. But if you are saved, it's God's business. Because if you're saved, your life is not your own. Paul wrote it. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which you have of God, and ye are not your own, but you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I say again, if you're lost, it isn't any of the preacher's business. But if you're saved, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, and it's God's business, and it is the preacher's business. And besides all that, Again, the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't listen to the voice of the devil. He is a liar. He makes it look good, sound good, and taste good. But when you drink the whole cup, it becomes very bitter in your mouth and in your life. Separation is missing. Soul winning is missing. Stewardship is missing. Steadfastness is missing. Study is missing. And my beloved friend, if you've come in this morning without Jesus Christ, the Savior is missing. But you don't have to go out without Him. For this wonderful book that I hold in my hand this morning says to me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What's missing in your life? Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we bring this message to a close and open this invitation, we humbly pray that Thou wouldst help us to take inventory of our own hearts. As parents, as children, as Christians, as pastor, as people, as Thy children, help us to live like Thy children. Help us to walk like Thy children. Help us to talk like Thy children. Help us to look like Thy children. Dear God, in our lives where there is something missing, maybe we've missed it a million miles, but something is missing. Dear God, I pray the Holy Spirit would fill up that void and that emptiness. And may young people and old people listen not to the voice of Satan, but to the voice of Jesus. For that wonderful voice invites us to come and cast all of our care upon Him. May young people today move out to take a second step with Thee. May parents, may families, for those who may be unsaved, man or woman, boy or girl, Thou knowest that heart right now, that young man, that young girl, that daddy or mother, husband or wife, without the Savior, bring them to Christ. Are those, Heavenly Father, who though they are saved have something definite missing in their lives, bring them to the altar of surrender and prayer. And dear God, for those who are not in the fellowship of Worth Baptist, but who are seeking and looking for a place, if it can be Thy will, may they come today and unite with the fellowship of Worth Baptist by transfer of their letter from another Baptist church, or on their statement of having been scripturally baptized or by baptism. May they come today. Bring us all to the place of absolute surrender is our prayer. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. And while our heads are bowed in prayer, and I want you to remain that way while the choir sings in a moment. But would you give God just 60 seconds to take inventory? Is study missing? Have you really studied God's Word like you should? You're missing out on something if you're not studying the Word of God. Is steadfastness missing in your life? Are you planted firmly? Is stewardship missing? Are you being honest with God? Is soul winning missing? When's the last time you knocked on somebody's door? When's the last time you said, won't you come over and visit with us? We want to share something with you. When's the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? Is soul winning missing? You say, but I've never trained to be a soul winner. Wait just a moment. You don't have to have any training. Just tell somebody what God's done for you. That doesn't require any training. Is separation missing in your life? Have you become a little bit too much like the world? Remember my text, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we remain in prayer and while the choir sings, for salvation I want you to come.